Yeah, but this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the 7th chapter of the book of Mark. 37 verses in the 7th chapter of Mark, New Testament. And we have commentary and translation. And then after that we have how to possess the kingdom of heaven, or how to get into heaven, or how to get into the good land, the good place where to stay after you your spirit leaves your body, so you can learn how to possess heaven. You can learn how to possess Christ, to have him. You can learn how to possess immortality, eternal life. And that's what I'm doing. It's a series on that, how to possess the kingdom of God. And that's what we all need very much. And then also we have several letters, and how to possess the kingdom of heaven will be from chapter 12 in the book of Deuteronomy, 12:10. And so you can be getting your Bibles together, finding that scripture. That's Deuteronomy 12:10. And right now let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint outwardly this service so that we can be inwardly anointed and with more growth in the fullness of the stature of Christ. Father, we open the kingdom of heaven. I already feel your spirit, Lord, and I ask that you anoint this service, anoint my words, be let you, Lord. I pray that you're the one that does all the talking through my mouth in this service, and everyone should pray the same way to you, Father, because unless it's you doing the work, then it's not the work of the Lord. Many people shall say in that day when they're standing before you at judgment, Lord, have we not done great and mighty works? Have we not done great? Not you, but we. Have we not done a great and mighty work in thy name? Yes, you have, but I never knew you, you'll say. You did a big work, but you would not humble yourself, you would not deny yourself, you would not walk according to the law of the Spirit of life in my spirit and let me do the work. And Lord, we pray that everyone will receive this message, because you said to them, I never knew you. And we have to know you, and you have to know us in order for us to be able to possess the kingdom of God, to possess heaven, possess immortality, eternal life, to inherit the kingdom of heaven. So, Lord, we ask that your glorious words, your glorious voice is heard through this message that's for souls to be saved, and, Lord, for the church to be edified. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I've been watching the news, you know, and I've seen that this hurricane, another one, is headed for New Orleans. The Bible tells, you know, you may build your cities, those of you that sin, you know, and the mayor's encouraging them to open up to all the striptease places now and everything. And, of course, lesbianism and homosexuality, and you can tell the man is very corrupt by the language he uses on television in front of everybody, and we didn't ask to hear that. And our sons and daughters may be watching the news and hear him using that kind of language. But at any rate, the Bible says that you may build your cities, but he said, I'll tear them back down. And so if I were you, you know, the Bible says that people that build their houses on solid rock are wise, but those that build them on sand are unwise. You know, I think it's even more unwise to build your home below sea level. All right, don't you think that's unwise, everybody?
Yes.
I think that's even more unwise. Okay, if I'm going to build something, I want it on top of a mountain or on the mountainside or something, at least on top of a hill. Not below sea level, folks. You know, the Bible states that people that don't know the Lord don't know anything. they're in darkness. And it shows that there's a lot of people that don't know much. They know they're below sea level, and yet they still, we're going to rebuild this city. Well, go at it, kids. Rots of ruck, okay? All right, where's the first letter from?
It's a witnessing line response from Riverside, California. A woman named Trinidad from Riverside, California, called requesting 50 copies of the Pope's Secrets, a Messiah book, and an assortment of available newsletters and gospel literature, and also Pastor Lamo's Bible study cassette tapes. Then Trinidad asked how much this would all cost her. I told her Pastor Lamo does not charge to send out the messages from the Lord, but if she would like to get behind a ministry that is doing a work for the Lord, she can back this ministry up with tithes and offerings.
And her prayers, amen?
Amen.
So the phone room should always mention the prayers, because I covet those more. God sends finances in through people that he touches through these messages, and also through our work. We work, because the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. And so I'd love to support the ministry. I'd love to make finances to put into the ministry. And you should too, because, you know, the Lord always sends a hundredfold back. He's never failed to do that yet. And he'll do the same for you if you really believe in what you're supporting here. You're supporting the whole gospel, not just a part of it, the truth. And the truth is Christ. All right, then go ahead. What else does she say?
Trinidad was so surprised, she then asked if there was a subscription fee, and I told her no. Trinidad said, quote, God bless you, exclamation point, God bless you, exclamation point. Forever I will appreciate this. No one can write this kind of literature and not be with the Lord. Trinidad said that she has been wanting something like this for a long time.
That's right. That's why I say before the message, I don't want to do the talking. I want the Lord to write the literature. Amen?
Amen.
And that's why people say it's just like the Bible. It's very much like the Bible. Because there's no conflict with the Word of God at all. And I very much rely, 100% rely on the Holy Spirit when I'm writing or when I'm speaking on radio, on television, and to people that are interested in preserving their souls eternally in the good land, the kingdom of heaven. People that are interested in possessing the Lord, possessing Christ, possessing immortality, eternal life, possessing the kingdom of God. All right, then what?
She said she has been wanting something like this for a long time, something to help her get ready for his coming. She asked for prayer. She has osteoporosis and is in constant pain, and it is hard for her to even just walk in her room. Trinidad wants
First of all, no. Her body is lying to her. She doesn't have constant pain. It's just she's a born-again Christian, but she doesn't realize the things that the Lord has provided for her. Now, the Lord has provided a pain-free... there shouldn't be any pain in her body at all, because the Lord has healed her. By his stripes, she was healed. And there hasn't been anybody that I've ever prayed for that has pain that weren't healed immediately. So, sister, when you're listening to this broadcast, and make sure that she gets a copy of this broadcast, just receive your healing now, because all your pain is gone. And I've prayed for thousands of people, and there hasn't been one person that the pain didn't leave immediately. And so just thank God for it now. Thank the Lord. Thank and praise the Lord for that. Okay, then go ahead.
Trinidad wants the good health to help do a work for the Lord and requests prayer.
Well, I just prayed for you, sister, and the Lord wants you to realize what he's provided for you. He's provided salvation for you 2,000 years ago, and he's provided healing for you 2,000 years ago. And you received the healing the same way that you received salvation and prosperity or anything. Just thank the Lord for it. It's already provided for you. If I put a big, juicy meal in front of you, and you keep saying, can I have it? can I have it? And I say, sure, eat it. And you just keep saying, but I want it. I want it. And it's sitting right in front of you. It's already provided for you. Just take it. Amen?
Amen.
Just like the literature is provided for you. Just take it. Don't worry about it. Just read it. Receive it. And let the Lord do His thing. Amen? Let Him heal you right now. Thank Him now. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And all the rest of you out there that are hurting, you do the same thing. Receive it now in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. All right, then what?
The next letter is from Concepcion, Chile. Beloved Pastor, I've read and reread the world newsletter, The Real Thing, The Real Deal, and the profoundness of the message that God our Father delivers to us through you has impacted me. Chile is a region that is established in the traditions, worships, and filled with Catholicism. On the other hand, I've shared some of your messages with the people who I work with in the ministry, assistant to the sick in the hospitals, prisoners, and prisons. We work in rural zones in the mining sector from our zone, and I was able to see how that by only reading the literature that the Lord delivers through you, people become converted to the Lord. I would love to be able to count with your material in a continuous basis and be able to distribute to those who need our ministry. Monthly attendance is more than 3,000 people. I thank God who asked me to enroll myself as a distributor of your material in this zone, Chile, in South America, where so much of the Word of God is needed. In the name of Jesus, thank you, and may the blessings of God Almighty befall you one more time. Felipe Campos.
Well, God bless you in the name of Jesus, too. And no matter how much literature you want, we will send it to you absolutely free of charge. And it really has recharged my heart to know that you're one of our distributors now and that you're ministering to a crowd, a congregation. She said, what, 3,000 people? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. That are part of our church now, because they're going to be getting more powerful, and they're going to be growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Now remember, the fullness of the stature of Christ means that you are operating not as an individual, but as a corporate body, the body of Christ. That's how we become the fullness, the completeness of the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So don't try to think that you're going to go out as an individual, a single person, and be of the Lord. That's not possible. All right? And don't think that you're going to be part of a religion and be part of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible clearly tells us that salvation is of the Lord. And so, if salvation is only of Jesus, that means that anything else is of the devil. So, salvation is of the Lord, religion is of the devil. Salvation is of the Lord, and if you're going to put your faith in Mary, that's of the devil as well. Mary would reprove you incredibly if she knew you were putting your faith in her. She didn't die on the cross and shed her blood for your sins. She didn't resurrect from the dead. When she died, she stayed dead. Amen?
Amen.
She didn't ascend up in the kingdom of heaven in front of over 500 people. And the Bible never states that... The Bible states that there's only one mediator to the throne of God, not two. So it's a sin to pray to Mary or anybody else. You pray to God through Christ, and that the mediator, the only mediator. All right? So, you know, let's get it straight. That's what it means when God sent John the Baptist to make the way of the Lord straight, not all confusing like religions make it. Oh, you know, we're going to pray to Mary, we're going to pray to John, we're going to pray to Mark and Luke and all these people. It won't do you any good. They're just a bunch of dead Jews. Except for Luke, he's a dead Gentile that God became a spiritual Jew. But let's get it straight. Amen.
Amen.
Pray to God in the through Christ. Pray to Jesus. There's no sin in that. That way you're going to make it to heaven now. Just do what the Lord says. Okay, then what else?
This is a response to your message tapes. Says, my grandmother is receiving your message tapes. She really loves them. The other day when I talked to her, she told me she was sharing them with people she knew in nursing homes. They heard the ones where you talk about the Terry Schiavo case. It hit real close to home to them. They were very happy to hear someone speaking out like you are. Praise the Lord.
Right. Nobody wants to be starved to death or dehydrated to death. If this was so barbaric, what they did to that woman, and you could see she was trying to talk, and so what? In other words, if you have a bump on your head and you lose, your ability to think very good for a while, and your brain is damaged, but the Lord says that He heals, all right? But nobody would let me go in to pray for the woman. It was just a horrible sin to pray for her. But yet the barbaric one-world government system, the Antichrist system, would not allow anyone to pray, but they wanted her to be starved to death and not have water. This is Satan, and no one else but Satan. And I know that the person that continued doing this, the husband and also the judge and all the other people in the presence, is my hands, I can't do anything. He's the president of the United States. You know, he's the one that appoints judges. He couldn't call the person up and say, look, you know, you've got to stop this. This is like satanic. Because he's not a Christian. Mr. Bush is a Catholic. And he's put up memorials, all kinds of different shrines to the Catholics. He's worshipped the Pope. And so don't believe when he says that he's a Christian, because it really makes us real Christians look bad to think that Christians would send armies over to bomb people, innocent people, and things like that. This is the only reason I'm speaking out against him, is because he's trying to make true Christianity or Christ look evil. Like, Christ forbids the use of carnal weapons, bombs, bullets, swords. But, you know, maybe Mr. Bush and all the administration and people like Terry Schiavo's husband and the judge that ordered her to be starved to death and dehydrated, maybe they think the Bible isn't true, but I'm telling you, something horrible is going to happen to you people. Something very horrible is going to happen to you and everyone that condones such actions as that. And I see that it's taking place in hospitals all over the country, because this is Satan has influenced the corporate body of Satan to do things like this. And pretty soon it seems to be the normal thing for people to do, is to starve people to death and dehydrate them to death. I saw them do that to a baby at UCLA Medical Center in Los Angeles here around 40 years ago. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing, because the baby was a mongoloid and the parents didn't want it to live. So therefore, according to satanic Antichrist government law, they say, it's all right if you want to kill your child, you can. If it doesn't have the right color hair, if it's a mongoloid, don't trust God to heal it. Just go ahead and kill it. And don't kill it in a merciful way, where they did this man that blew up the world, federal building over in Oklahoma City, where they put a needle in him. No, let's watch him starve to death. Satan just claps his hands when he sees something so evil and satanic as that. But you people that are enjoying such things as this, you're next. Something's going to happen to you. Now, if I were you, I would repent of that and get saved. Because if you don't, it's just as sure as God made little green apples, you're going to regret it. And you're going to regret it at the judgment bar of God. And you're going to regret it every moment, throughout eternity, in the pit of hell and the lake of fire. Now, believe what I'm telling you, or perish. Believe or burn. Now, I'm not preaching my own gospel or doctrine. I'm preaching what the Bible says, God's holy word, God who created the heavens and the earth that you're standing on, and the earth that you're stuffing your face with, from the vegetables and fruit and all the other things that God has provided for even you reprobates. So you have no excuse. God has been merciful to you. He lets you breathe His air, drink His water, eat His food, and yet you reject Him. You also will be rejected, because God has the last word. Remember that, please, for your own sake, not for mine. I'm not asking for any money from you or any sustenance from you. I have nothing to gain except I'm covering my own soul, because the Lord said, if I don't tell you the real truth, that I'll be in hell and in the lake of fire. And so I'm just getting myself off the hook with you reprobates out there. So you repent for your own sake. I've told you, and I don't have to make you do anything other than that. All I'm required to do is preach the gospel to you. Just read the book of Ezekiel. I believe it's in the 3rd chapter where God threatens Ezekiel, a great prophet, that if he doesn't tell the people, then he's going to suffer the fires of hell. But if he does tell them and they don't receive it, that's okay. He still gets credit for telling them. And so I'm just chalking up points with the Lord, one right after the other. And you're doing the exact opposite by rejecting. But God gives you a free will, and so you can accept or reject. And to me, now that I've told you, I'm off the hook, so do what you're going to do, okay? Do what you're going to do. And then you'll see, eventually, that the word of that you're definitely going to go to hell if you reject, and the lake of fire. And you just won't be able to go to sleep there or take any pain pills. There's no pharmacy there for that in hell. And there's no exit signs. There's no escape hatches. There's no repentance there. It's just you're locked in and you never get out. Okay, then what?
The next letter is from Kinshasa, Congo, Africa. Dear Pastor Lamo, I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I learned about your literature called Salt and the newsletters. I was taking part in a 7-day prayer meeting with a prayer group. During the first day of prayer, a beloved brother gave me these publications on a boulevard in Kinshasa, Congo. I want you to know that I am astounded by these divine revelations, which have truly changed my life. I am reading your literature more and more, and the Word of God has delivered my Congolese brothers and me. We are especially inspired by your message, Dry Bones. I would like to receive your newest literature in French or the editions between 2004 and 2005. Our brothers truly need your literature to strengthen their Christian faith. I am asking you to look after the fraternity with the Congolese people who are suffering politically. Thank you for your kindness, and I hope that you stay blessed by the Lord.
Oh, I will. It's so long as I continue preaching the gospel and keeping the word to the end. I'll be blessed. And so you don't have to hope. I'd really thank you for praying for me and hoping for me. But I pray and hope, and I know that if you do the same, I don't have to hope. It's for sure you're going to be in heaven. All right, and all the people that do the same thing, all of you out in Radio Land, you're going to make it to the kingdom of heaven if you follow the directions from the Lord. And I prayed before this message that the Lord would anoint it, that it would be Him speaking. And so consider it Him speaking to you now. Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Lord is in me with the Father by the Spirit. And that's who's talking to you. All right, now we're ready for the 7th chapter of Mark with its 37 verses, translation and commentary. We'll just go with the translation today. Okay, go ahead.
Jesus teaches about inner purity. Verse 1. One day, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law arrived from Jerusalem to confront Jesus. Verse 2. They noticed that some of Jesus' disciples failed to follow the usual Jewish ritual of hand washing before eating. Verse 3. The Jews, especially the Pharisees, do not eat until they have poured water over their cupped hands as required by their ancient traditions. Verse 4. Similarly, they eat nothing bought from the market unless they have immersed their hands in water. This is but one of many traditions they have clung to, such as their ceremony of washing cups, pitchers, and kettles.
Right, there's no law about doing that. Of course, it's just common sense, you know, to wash your hands and wash your dishes and things, but there's no law about that. You know, if you're out in the wilderness and you don't have any water there and you see some corn or wheat or something to eat there, it's all right. Go ahead. Just ask the Lord to bless it. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Verse 5. So the Pharisees and teachers of religious law asked him, quote, "Why don't your disciples follow our age-old customs? For they eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony," unquote. Verse 6. Jesus replied, quote, "You hypocrites! Isaiah was prophesying about you when he said," verse 7, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away."
Yeah, if you let them get by with that, then they'll start having a toe-washing ceremony. And then, you know, an elbow-washing ceremony. I mean, what's so ridiculous, people? Then what else?
Their worship is a farce, for they replace God's commandments with their own man-made teachings. Verse 8, "For you ignore God's specific laws and substitute your own traditions," unquote.
Yeah, you substitute God's laws with your traditions. You should keep the law, but there's no way that anyone can keep the law unless you have a born-again experience. You have the power of Christ with the Father by the Spirit living in you. When the eternal Spirit of God enters into your body, into your spirit, then your spirit has the power to keep the commandments. And instead of silly things like washing hands, it's easy for you to wash hands, but it's hard to keep the law unless the Spirit of God is in there. So everyone washes their hands, and I pray brushes their teeth and washes their toes and their elbows, their rusty elbows. But so that's nothing to do. That doesn't show any power of God, because everybody does it, even the unsaved. But let the unsaved attempt to keep the commandments of the Lord. They can't do it because they don't have the born-again experience. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, with his Father by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the eternal Spirit of life, must enter your temporal spirit in order to make it alive, eternal. And if that hasn't, and to make it powerful enough to keep the commandments, able to more than keep the commandments, because God can do everything except lie, die, or fail. God can do everything. And it's so easy to keep the commandments with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit actually abiding, living, dwelling in you. Then what?
Verse 9. Then he said, quote, "You reject God's laws in order to hold on to your own traditions." Verse 10, "For instance, Moses gave you this law from God," quote, "honor your father and mother," unquote, and, quote, "anyone who speaks evil of father or mother must be put to death," unquote. Verse 11, "But you say it's all right for people to say to their parents," quote, "sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I could have given to you," unquote. Verse 12, "You let them disregard their needy parents." Verse 13, "As such, you break the law of God in order to protect your own tradition." And this is only one example. There are many, many others.
Right. There's a lot of people that try to make themselves look holy by keeping just traditions or some crazy thing like that. Like, there's a bunch of people in the world today that try to make themselves look holy by calling women children. When a woman reaches the age of puberty, when she has her monthly cycle, she's able to have children. She's no longer a child, because God has taken care of that. He shows us in the body that won't. She's now a woman because she's able to have a child. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, but now there's a lot of people that don't know that, and such as, where was this taking place now?
In Nebraska,
the governor over there and the attorney general is coming against this 22-year-old man and this woman that has a child already. She's proven that she's a woman because she had a child. Amen?
Amen.
And that's why when Mary and Joseph were going to get married, Joseph was an older man. And she was very young. She was too young, actually, to be married. She could be engaged, which means espoused. But the marriage could not be consummated until she became a woman, until she reached the age of puberty, where she had her cycle. But when that happened, she was found pregnant. So God impregnated her, so they're going to arrest God now for statutory rape or for having relationships with a child. Okay, so you reprobate, so you make God look reprobate and yourself look like you're holy. What kind of reprobates are you? Let me get it straight that a woman, when she reaches puberty, is I don't care how old she is, the Bible says when she reaches puberty, she's a woman. And don't be calling her a child. Otherwise, people are going to think you're stupid. And you're really trying to arrest somebody that is married, and the man is supporting the girl, the woman, his wife. They are one flesh, and they have a baby. No, they want to take the baby away and put the baby on welfare, and the woman, and they're calling her a child. And this district attorney over there, or the attorney general, is saying, I will never allow any man to be married to a child. Well, I wouldn't either, and God wouldn't either. But when she reached puberty, God decided to impregnate her by the Holy Spirit. And so God is not a reprobate like you who think you're holier than God. God is God, and He's a very holy God, and He impregnated her with the Holy Spirit, and so therefore He is not guilty of statutory rape. And if He was, there wouldn't be anything you could do about it, because He'd probably pinch your little nose and close your mouth so you couldn't breathe anymore. Do you realize who you're dealing with God? Okay, so, and then she was found with child, and Joseph knew the law, and he was going to put her away, put her to death. But the Holy Spirit revealed to her that the woman is impregnated, not the child. Because children can't have babies. Only women can. All right? Amen. So the woman is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And this is the Messiah. So you're not going to be able to... This is the virgin that the Bible says would be bearing a child. A virgin would conceive and bear a son. All right? And so God did that. Not Joseph. Or any other man, it was God. And so he could not have sexual relationships with her, even though she was a woman, until this baby, who was fathered or begotten by the Holy Spirit, was born. After that, she had sexual relationships with this elderly man, and she had other children. Now that's the Bible. This is the truth. Now quit calling women children, and stop stopping your daughter. Quit stopping your daughter from being married when she becomes a woman, because what they do is they go out and commit fornication, and then they get pregnant and they go have an abortion. That's first degree murder, and so you're causing your children to be sent to hell for fornication and first degree murder. And so you're guilty, the whole system is guilty, for causing all these girls and boys to be guilty of fornication and first-degree murder. Now, isn't it strange that the system doesn't care if these people, if the kids in school are having sex at 7, 8, and 9 years old? Just don't get married now! And just don't have children when you start your cycle, and don't be calling them women. When we deem that a 13, 14-year-old child, a woman, is a child. They've even got me to the point where, you know, I'm saying child. It is not child. Children cannot have children. You must be a full-fledged woman to have a child. So stop calling women children, or you're going to be suffering condemnation from the Lord. You're actually causing the system, the satanic antichrist system, to arrest people for being married at the age of 13 and 14 when they are women. And especially with they have husbands that are supporting them and the children. Now, even the state laws, California law states you get married at any age. That's the law. And then there are many other states that it mentions in this article. Where was this article in?
People Magazine.
People Magazine. There are many states that say they can be married at 12. I say no, not unless they've reached puberty. I don't care if they haven't reached puberty. They at 14, then they're still not women. 15, they're still not women. But if they reach puberty at 11 and 12, they're women. Okay? You've got to be flexible enough to receive the truth. Okay? Stop calling women children. And this Attorney General and the Governor, I'm ashamed of you, and God is ashamed of you. Repent and back off from this case. Repent and back off, because you're wrong. Why do you want people to know you're wrong? Aren't you ashamed? I mean, I pride myself in people knowing that I'm wise and truthful, but you're not ashamed that people know you're stupid and a liar, because you're saying that a woman is a child and you're a liar. At best, you are wrong, and you're causing a lot of turmoil in people's lives all over the country and probably all over the world. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Now straighten up and fly right. I'm making the way of the Lord straight. Why would God cause a woman to have a cycle and then stop her from having children or being married? You make some of these women wait until they're 18 years old to be married, and every one of them, many of them, turn out to be whores, because they're going to have sex, and they're having sex at 6, 7, 8, and 9 years old in school. And you weasels, you satanic government people, are even furnishing condoms and birth control pills and everything for them, and you keep that real silent. To you, that's fine. To the devil, you're the corporate body of Satan. Now repent so that you don't have to go to hell in the lake of fire. Okay, now what's the governor's name over there? Do you have it handy?
Yes, it's Nebraska Attorney General John Brunning.
Okay, John Brunning. Nebraska Attorney General John Brunning. What a creep. Okay, you're just a man. You don't deserve honor because you're ruling against the Word of God. And then what's the governor's name? She said she's ashamed. I think it's a woman.
Yes, it is.
She's ashamed of her state that they're allowing a woman to be married. Well, I'm ashamed of you. And I'm going to make it known in your state. Even People Magazine, which is a reprobate magazine, is saying that they, in many things they are, at least here they're saying that they disagree with the governor and the attorney general. But they don't give any basis for it. I'm giving you the basis of why it is wrong. Okay? I'm not using guesswork like you people in the world do. I'm using the Word of God. What's the governor's name?
Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius.
Kathleen Sebelius is the governor of that state, okay? Okay, let's continue on. I just had to say that, you know. Then what? There are worldly traditions. We must live by the Word of God, or we cause people to sin, all right?
Amen.
And I'm God is tired. The cup of his wrath is filled up to the brim, and he's about ready to pour out more and more plagues on this earth. Do you want Nebraska to be hit like Florida is for their crime against Terry Schiavo? Or do you want to be hit like New Orleans for sinning as they do? Well, then repent. I pray that you say, no, we don't want to be hit like that. Well, then repent, or you will be. Okay, then what?
Verse 14. Then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. Quote, all of you listen, unquote, he said. Quote, and try to understand. Verse 15, you are not defiled by what you eat. You are defiled by what you say and do, exclamation point, unquote.
Right, so the people are defiled in Florida by doing what the governor said. He made an attempt at the judge there. They're defiled in what they're doing in New Orleans, what they're doing in San Francisco. They're going to get hit. They've already been hit several times. And in Nebraska, I'm warning you from the Lord. This is the Lord warning you that you're going to get hit if you don't stop it. Not only this sin, but all the rest of them. It's a sin. Do you know the Bible says that in the last days, you satanic people would have forbid marriage, which is, the Bible says, the doctrine of devils. How does it feel to be called by God a devil? Do you like being called a devil by God? That would scare me to death. That would frighten me to death. So, you know, God calls you devils. And that includes you, Governor, and you, Attorney General of the state of Nebraska. Now, if I were you, I'd back off. Back off. These people are happy together, and they're man and woman and daughter, or it's a child. Is it a boy or a girl? It's a girl. Leave him alone. The man is working. He's making $9 an hour, and he wants to marry her. They had sex at school. That was okay until he got married to her and wanted to support her. Now the devils say that it's no, because we forbid marriage. And this governor is ashamed that they got married. She would rather have him fornicate. You devil, you. Okay, then what?
Verse 16. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear.
Yeah, if you have ears to hear what the Lord just says to you, then hear and repent. Okay, because I'm not against you. I'm against the sin that you're doing. I'm trying to lead you to the Lord and to the kingdom of heaven. Of course, you don't believe that, but you will one of these days. And maybe a lot sooner than you think. Then what else?
Verse 17. Then Jesus went into a house to get away from the crowds, and his disciples asked him what he meant by the statement he had made. Verse 18, quote, didn't you understand either, unquote, he asked. Quote, can't you see that what you eat won't defile you? Verse 19, food doesn't come in contact with your heart.
Okay, now food, there's a lot of things that the Lord said in the Bible that are not food. Bats are not food. Cormorants, bitterns, vultures, hogs, they're not food. So, but food, he says, will not defile your body. Okay? Lobsters, shrimp, that's not food. They're actually vacuum cleaners to clean the bottom of the sea. And dogs are scavengers. But they've made them... it would be, you know, people would get thrown in prison if they starved a dog to death, but not humans. You people that are making these laws are subhuman. You're devils. Okay, then what?
Food doesn't come in contact with your heart, but only passes through the stomach and then comes out again, unquote. By saying this, he showed that every kind of food is acceptable. However, pork and certain sea creatures and horses and buzzards and things like that are not food. They're scavengers. Verse 20. And then he added, quote, it is the thought life that defiles you, the evil. Verse 21. For from within, out of a person's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder. Verse 22. Adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, eagerness for lustful pleasures, envy, slander, pride and foolishness. Verse 23. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you and make you unacceptable to God. Unquote. The faith of a Gentile woman. Verse 24. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre. He tried to keep it secret that he was there, but he couldn't. As usual, the news of his arrival spread fast. Verse 25. Right away, a woman came to him whose little girl was possessed by an evil spirit. She had heard about Jesus, and now she came and fell at his feet. Verse 26. she begged him to release her child from the demon's control. Since she was a Gentile born in Syria, Phoenicia, verse 27, Jesus told her, quote, "First, I should help my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs," unquote. Verse 28, she replied, quote, "That's true, Lord, but even the dogs under the table are given some crumbs from the children's plates," unquote. Verse 29, quote, "Good answer!" exclamation point, unquote, he said. Quote, "And because you have answered so well, I have healed your daughter," unquote. Verse 30, "And when she arrived home, her little girl was lying quietly in bed, and the demon was gone."
Yeah, not the little woman was lying in bed, a little girl. She hadn't reached puberty yet, right?
Right.
If she reached puberty, she's the little woman, the young woman. The Bible says, let the young women marry. Amen?
Amen.
Let them marry, you devils, all right? Butt out. Back off. Okay? As long as they're married to somebody that has the ability to support them and the children, back off. And as long as it's a nice man, somebody that will support the wife and the child. Now, anyone that won't support their wife and children are worse than infidels. Now, infidels go to hell, so worse than an infidel would wind up in the lowest bowels of hell in the lake of fire. More torment than the others. So when you see somebody supporting their wife and child, you devil, you back off, because God is going to not back off on you. If you, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Something bad is going to happen to you. Believe me. Because I'm asking you to believe the Bible. Believe what the Lord is saying immediately through me. Okay? Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then what?
Jesus heals a deaf and mute man. Verse 31. Jesus left Tyre and went to Sidon, then back to the Sea of Galilee and the region of the ten towns. Verse 32. A deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to him, and the people begged Jesus to lay his hands on the man to heal him. Verse 33. Jesus led him to a private place away from the crowd. He put his fingers into the man's ears. Then, spitting onto his own fingers, he touched the man's tongue with the spittle. Verse 34, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and commanded, quote, "Be opened!" exclamation point, unquote. Verse 35, instantly the man could hear perfectly and speak plainly, exclamation point. Verse 36, Jesus told the crowd not to tell anyone, but the more he told them not to, the more they spread the news. Verse 37, for they were completely amazed. Again and again they said, quote, "Everything he does is wonderful. He even heals those who are deaf and mute," unquote.
That's amazing. Yeah, why people won't listen to someone that with that power. That someone is God in the flesh. Now, that was the 37th verse of chapter 7 of Mark, and now we have the commentary.
Chapter 7, verses 1 through 13. For many of the Jewish leaders, man-made traditions had begun to supersede God's revealed word. Ritual had begun to replace a relationship with God. Reputation had become more important than godliness. Jesus called this hypocrisy, and it is a dangerous form of denying the Lord Jesus Christ. If we hide the pain we feel and the mistakes we make, we will never be able to grow in the Lord or be able to deal with them and experience healing so necessary. Growing to the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ can succeed only if we are willing to be honest in taking moral inventory of ourselves and paralleling the things that we do with the Word of God, using God's Word as our standard. As you seek to find God's will for your life, you will experience His powerful Spirit, His help, and His guidance and direction. Chapter 7, verses 14 through 23. Jesus explained that defilement does not come from external behavior per se. But of course, we must do what the Lord tells us to do, so our external behavior is important. But the main thing is, he was talking about that it comes from within our heart, from inside of us. Most people have tried to control their problems, their dependencies, by changing various aspects of their external behavior. The fact is that this never worked for long and is clear evidence that their real problems live within them. We should find it encouraging that God goes right to the root of everyone's problems. He works His healing from the inside out. By our recognizing the need for our internal healing, We are opening our life to God's healing power, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit.
Right. If the core in you is weak, the exterior will be weak also. So you have to get the core, just like an apple has a core. You know, in order for the apple to be healthy around it, the core has to be healthy too. And your core, where your spirit is, must be born again of the Spirit, saved, and you must abide in the Lord and let the Lord abide in you and do what he says so that you can have the power of God living in and through you. Okay, then what else?
Chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. By helping this Gentile woman, Jesus made it clear that his message was for everyone, not just a privileged few. Jesus responded not only to the woman's humility and accurate self-assessment of herself and her daughter, but also to her great faith and perseverance and her way that she accepted what the Lord said. The more we trust what the Lord says, the more he will be able to do for you and through you. Conversely, a lack of faith and perseverance will prevent God from doing anything or working his healing in your life and in the lives of your loved ones and in the lives of those that you come in contact with.
Right, so if you want to have the blessings of the Lord on the great state of Nebraska, then just comply with what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
Listen to him. Then what else?
Chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. One of the keys to growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ can be other people who lead you to the help you need. In this account, a group of people apparently cared enough for this deaf man to do something about his hearing problem. They brought their friend to Jesus, and that's what we should do, and begged Jesus to heal him. You may be the one that God will use to give other hurting people healing, direction for their healing, and their salvation. As you share your testimony of deliverance and God's power for bringing healing and salvation...
That isn't what we should do, that's what we must do. Okay, keep going.
You can give others the gift of life and health. You will not only give hope to others, but you will also experience a renewed commitment to your own growth in the Lord. You'll bring salvation to the world.
Right, so this is our duty. Now we're going to go into how to achieve the possession, to possess the kingdom of heaven, how to possess Christ. Because all things are Christ, they're made by him and are him. That are in the entire unity. The kingdom of heaven is God, Christ. All right, go ahead.
Deuteronomy 12:10 states, quote, "You will soon cross the Jordan River and live in the land the Lord your God has given you as a special possession. When he gives you rest and security from all your enemies, verse 11, you must bring everything I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your special gifts, and your offerings to fulfill a vow to the place the Lord your God will choose for his name to be honored."
In other words, everything that you do in life must be taking place in the body of Christ. You can't, as an individual, cross Jordan. You can't, as an individual, be a part of the body of Christ unless you're with the body of Christ. Then what?
You must celebrate there with your sons and daughters and all your servants in the presence of the Lord your God. And remember the Levites who live in your town. In other words, give tithes and offerings to them, for they will have no inheritance of the land as their own. Verse 13, be careful not to sacrifice your burnt offerings just anywhere, unquote. In other words, you must be in the congregation, the body of Christ. Don't think that you can leave the church. This is what you must tell people who say, quote, "I can serve the Lord without going to church. I can serve the Lord by myself," unquote. It says be very careful that you cannot do that. You cannot sacrifice your burnt offerings just anywhere. Verse 14, quote, "You may do so only at the place the Lord will choose within one of your tribal territories," unquote. Now we're all living in one tribe, and that's the tribe of Judah. That's the tribe that Jesus comes from. He's the lion from the tribe of Judah. There you must offer your burnt offerings and do everything I command you. Now the Lord demands everything.
Now we're the burnt offerings. We are to be sacrifices led by the Lord. That's our reasonable duty, to sacrifice our bodies as unto the Lord, to let him live and do his work in and through us. Okay, then what?
Now we'll go further into it and break this down for you. Back to Back to Deuteronomy 12:10, quote, "But when you go over the Jordan and dwell in the land which Jehovah, your God, causes you to inherit, and he giveth you rest, or Sabbath, from all of your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety," unquote. So when we are in the land which is Jesus, I've given many messages on the land. The good land has everything. Jesus is the water that flows up. He's the fountain of water. He's also the manna, the bread of life, and he is our everything. So we must dwell in the land, and when we do dwell in Christ, then we have complete rest. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 19. "Therefore it shall be, when Jehovah thy God hath given thee rest or Sabbath from all thine enemies round about, in the land which Jehovah thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it," unquote. In these two verses we are able to see that when the Lord refers to rest, he's referring to the land, which is everything that Jesus is: the food, the water, our clothing, our air, our immortality, our salvation, our peace, our safety, our everything.
Our prosperity, everything, right. That's Christ is our everything. Everything is Christ. You don't have anything if you don't have Christ. But you have, if you have Christ, you have everything. Okay, go ahead.
So the Lord Jesus Christ is the land, and he is our rest. He's our Sabbath. To possess the land and to dwell there is to be in rest or in Christ.
Okay, and to possess the land means that you have possession of the kingdom of heaven. If you don't possess heaven, then you possess black Sabbath. Black Sabbath means that you're resting in Satan. Now you either have to come to Christ and he'll give you rest, which is eternal life, the kingdom of God, or you're in black Sabbath. Some people feel very comfortable in black Sabbath, but that to me, I'm so glad that the Lord delivered me out of black Sabbath and that I'm in the true rest and peace and in the arms of the Lord, in the bosom of the Lord, and that he's living in me with the Father by the Spirit. Well, anyway, I see that our time is gone now, and so tomorrow, God willing, we'll be doing Mark chapter 8. And also we'll have another message on how to possess the kingdom of heaven, how to possess God and keep him possessed until the day that you go up to heaven with him, when you're translated from the human body to a celestial body, one that lives on forevermore. So until then, this is Pastor Tony Alama, saying, keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes focused on the Word, in other words, because the Word is God. God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.